Amen. Proverbs 22:6. Read our verse. I started talking about training your children to walk, and I preached a little bit about that thought, and then felt like we needed to go on and move to another thought before we finished, and I was going to come back and deal with that, was going to do it on Sunday night, but didn't get that far. But I just have a couple of things that I'd like to say about teaching your children how to walk with the help of the Lord. I think is important that we have an understanding of, and I'm sure that you know what I'm preaching about, but the importance of the message, or the importance of what we're dealing with, is not forgetting to train our children in that direction. You know, it's really easy for you to know it and know how to do it and never train your children. Some of you men know how to change your oil in your car, but your son don't. But you know how. But he don't even know where the oil filter is, does he? Some of you ladies know how to do a lot of things in the home, whether it be make biscuits, make a cake, or do different things of that nature, and sew up a dress or make a dress or do things of that sort, but your children don't. And you're going to pass off this life one of these days. And you need to understand that you knowing how to do it is not going to take care of the life of your child. So it's important that you teach them. There was a time when there was some general knowledge that men had in life. It was necessary that they have that knowledge. When it come to a garden and things of that nature, and as time passed on, we got more dependent on the things that our world supplies for us. We got, to be honest with you, in bondage to the government. Can I hear an amen? And that's why there is a group of people out here that promote want more government, because they want someone else to think, provide, and do everything for us. And they do not want us to be able to make it on our own. They want the people of this country to be totally dependent upon them. And you can't raise your children that way, nor can a country survive like that. Amen. That's nothing more than socialism and communism. A country can't survive, amen, like that. And so it's important that you take the time to teach your children some things that will be beneficial to them in their life. When it comes to spiritual matters, it's important that you train your child how to walk. Our verse says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the verse that we have been dealing with. I probably have preached 8 or 9 to 10 messages from this text, and we may be here for a little while longer, but I want to try, if I can, tonight to try to finish the thought that I dealt with a few weeks ago on training your children how to walk. We've said many times as we have approached this text that there is a lot involved in training children, and I trust that by now we realize that there is much to be learned and much to be considered when it comes to raising a family and training our children and claiming the promise that is laid out for us in Proverbs 22:6. And I hope that you understand tonight that it is impossible to claim a promise if you are not willing to conform to the principles of this verse. And I understand that you say, preacher, you're just taking it a little bit too far. You're really fanatical about it. I mean, you're dissecting every word. But I believe that this Bible is verbally inspired. I believe line upon line, precept upon precept, I believe that it has the answer. I got into a discussion years ago. I don't guess it was an argument. I don't think it was. But a man was trying to shake me on where I believed, or when I believed, the church came to existence in this world. And he was trying to put it in Matthew 16. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And I said, Jesus said, I will build it. He didn't say, I am building it. He didn't say, I have built it. He said, upon this rock, upon the declaration that Peter made, I will build my church. And that is future tense. I believe the Bible that much. I believe the tense of the Word of God. I believe that the punctuation is important. I believe that the concept and the focus of the Word of God grammatically is very important. So I believe every word is inspired of God, and I believe you can claim each promise based on the words of this book. We talked about the process, and that is the word train. We looked at instruction and how you train your children through influence and inspiration and involvement, and how you will even train your children by ignoring them. Amen. We talked about the projection, train up a child in the way he should go, train up a child. I was talking to Brother Norris about this thought, and I gave him this little outline. He said, well, I'm going to tell everybody that I preached that years ago, because he wanted to grab that word up and deal with it, amen. So I'm on tape right now on the World Wide Web and got it recorded, documented, and copyrighted that I came up with it first. Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go. You can't train him on a level plane. You certainly can't let up, amen. Society's wickeder than it's ever been. Sin is waxing worse and worse, and you've got to train up a child. Then there's a child. There's a person involved. Everyone's different. Every child is different. Their needs are different. Their learning ability is different. Amen. Their personality is different. And you have to be a parent or a child trainer with discernment and perception to understand that. There's a path. Train up a child in the way he should go. There's purity. Train up a child in the way he should go. He should. Your child should do things. There's a purpose, amen, the way he should go. There's going to be a day of arrival. There's going to be a time when his life, amen, comes to a level of maturity and he needs to be headed somewhere. I told our class, and I've said that, I haven't said this in a while, but I hammered this pretty good for some time ago. I said, you can't show me a young man in this church. You're listening to me now, I hope. You can't show me a young man in this church that graduated from this school or graduated from home school in this ministry that knew what they were going to do with their life and had prayed and settled that purpose and began to pursue that avenue and stay with it and stick with it and live by it, that's not serving the Lord. And you can't show me one that graduated from this school that didn't have a clue what he was going to do, or had, amen, some ideas that he put forth maybe on a piece of paper or talked about, but had no intentions of doing them at all, that hadn't had major spiritual battles. Is that right or wrong? Amen. And so my point is this, you need to train up a child the way he should go. There should be some training involvement in what that child is going to do with his life. You say, well, preacher, don't matter what he does, as long as he makes enough money by the hour to pay his bills and you know, pay the power bill and able to raise a family. It most certainly does mean something, amen, what he's going to do with his life. Now, if he said he wanted to be a preacher, you'd say, oh, that means something. That's different. It's not different. God needs men that are on the workforce, that love God, that are in the will of God, that are doing what God has designed them to do and gifted them to do, that is filled with the Spirit, that is separated from the world, that loves God, that is a testimony of the grace of God to this world. But when individuals don't know where they're headed and what they're doing, both young ladies and young men alive, young ladies, I've seen them get in major spiritual trouble because they don't have a husband or a boyfriend or the potential of getting married. They think the world's going to pass them by, and they wring their hands all the days of their life. They live in distress. They live in fret. They live in confusion, and they put themselves in a position where if I was a young man, the last individual that I'd want to get involved with was you. because you look like your world is coming to an end. And I don't want to share my life with someone that can't believe God, trust God, have joy in their heart, and serve the Lord. And God's not going to bless you because he can't, because you don't have any faith. By faith. You're going to please God by faith. Amen. Is everybody listening to me? And so there's a ways you go. There's a purpose. And then there's a progression or a progress. He's going to get old. Amen. And you can set out and determine, amen, that you're going to do some things for the glory of God. Find your walk in this life, your purpose in life. And when you grow old, amen, you can settle. You can settle in, amen, to be content in the will of God. Amen. Then there's a promise. He won't depart from it. Well, we preached about training your child's will. Have you ever done that? Have you ever took a close look at the will of your son or daughter? We talked about taking that child's will and knowing what it means to break that will. And in that process, amen, you don't just break something and leave it in pieces, but you realize that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and you have to break that Adamic will in their youthful days, and you have to deal with that through consistent discipline. But you break that will to build upon that will, so that in that building process, there will come a day when that child will bow and give his heart to the Lord Jesus. Then we preached about the way of God, and we said so much about that. We talked about work. Then we talked about walk. Then we skipped some thoughts, and we talked about worship. Let me give you two simple thoughts about walking, and then we're going to be dismissed tonight. We said this, that it's very important that you train your child to walk. The subject of walking is a subject that is very vast, very large in the Bible. The subject of walking entails many things in the Word of God. And so as we began to look at this subject, we basically just outlined it very simple when it comes to training your children. We said this, that children have choices and children make choices. We found out that Samuel, probably, I believe, to be the greatest prophet probably in the Old Testament outside of Moses, if you consider Moses a prophet. But outside of Moses, Samuel was probably the greatest man in the Word of God. But here's what it says about Samuel's sons. It says that they walk not in thy ways. And so Samuel lived for God. Samuel was faithful, but the Bible said that his sons did not walk in his ways. They did not walk in his ways while he was living. And so we understand that children make choices. So we begin to look at what it means to train a child to walk and what avenues we should concern ourselves with when we are training our children to walk. We said, we should train them how to walk as saved people, salvation. Amen. Colossians 2:6 says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So if you're saved by the grace of God, then that should determine how you walk. I'm saved, and so I walk in a particular way because of the grace of God that I've experienced. And we think sometimes that just doing it in front of our children is enough. But that was not enough in Samuel's children's life. Samuel walked with God, and his ways pleased the Lord. He walked with such of the power of God in his life that when he came to town, men feared him because he had such power with God. So just walking in front of your children with a powerful walk in faith and believing God in the work of salvation is not enough. Apparently it's not. So you're to train them. You're to train them about the life that you've experienced, the light that has been manifested in your life, and the liberty. We've already preached about that. Have you trained your children what it means to walk saved? Not religious. We have no problem with that. We have no problem teaching our children what it means to walk religiously. How they are to cut their hair, how they are to wear their clothes, how they are to handle themselves in a mannerly way in public. And there's someone met with me this week and taught with me in our community here, and he says you can tell the people from Pleasant View when they are out to eat and when they go places, you can tell who they are, how they handle themselves. And that's a good testimony. Thank God for that. I praise the Lord that you handle yourself properly. Every one of you, I'm sure, I don't have that testimony, but collectively speaking, when y'all go out to eat after a tent meeting or on Wednesday night, apparently somebody's looking. They say those folk are from Pleasant View. That's commendable. Amen. But it's not hard to teach children how to walk religiously, because they don't have a problem when Mennonites come into Dairy Queen saying, those are Mennonites. Do they? That's an Amish man. That's a family of Amish. Fact of the matter is, they don't have any problem identifying the Muslims. And so it's not hard to teach your children how to walk in a religious manner. But when it comes to walking saved, it involves a whole lot more. It involves a driving force within them, an inward work of the power of the blood of Jesus that has changed their life, that has brought them from death unto life, that has opened their blinded eyes, that have set them free from the chains and cords of sin. You should train them and teach them that the grace of God reaches way beyond a set of rules, a set of guidelines. But salvation's about life. Salvation's about life. Salvation's about liberty. Walk saved. Walk spiritually. The Bible said that Enoch walked with God. And Enoch's walk with God without question in Genesis 5 revolved around the son that he bore, Methuselah. And I said this, you should train your children how to walk spiritually. Do you have a walk with God, trainer of children? We ask that question. Do those you train have a walk with God? Brother David, if you was honest tonight, could you say, my daughters walk with God? I'm not asking you if you have good daughters. You have good daughters. I can sense and see that. Could you say, Brother Jim, my sons walk with God? Brother Rick, my children have a desire for the things of God. They walk with God. I have sons, I have daughters, Brother Joe, that are spiritual. They have a heart for God. They have a desire to serve the Lord. It is very important tonight, Brother James, that we understand that there's more to this than just religion. There's more to this than being a fundamental Baptist. It is a spiritual walk. Enoch walked with God. It was a day of communion in his life. It was a time when he fellowshiped with the Lord. It was real to him. He loved to be with God. It moved him. It drove him. Your children have a spiritual life. You train them to walk spiritually. Then we talked about how Enoch walked with God in a social world that was wicked. We preached about that. Have you trained your child to walk socially? Does your son have any clue how he's going to act and how he responds and how he's going to deal with a God-denying, God-cussing, drinking, doping heathen that he's going to work right next to 8 hours a day, 6 days a week? Have you trained your children to walk in a world and walk with God and find grace in the eyes of the Lord in a world where every imagination of their heart is only evil continually? Apparently Noah did that. Amen. Noah, before he had sons, amen, he realized that God was going to rain judgment on the earth because of the sin that it was in. And Noah began to build an ark and prepared that ark for the saving of his house. And he preached. He just did not focus on the world of his home, but he focused on the world around him that was without God. And he preached to them. He desired they'd get on that ark. He desired they'd get saved, but they rejected the truth. You know Enoch walked with God. You know what? You know what we think about Enoch? Here's what you think about Enoch. You think about Enoch being so spiritual and so caught up with God that he's just walking around with his arms around the Lord all day long. He don't look at the world. He don't think about the world. He has no contact with the world. Is that what you think of Enoch? I mean, he's just all into this. He's all into worshiping God. He's all into fellowshipping with God. He's all into just God. It's just God all the time. Amen. It was so much God in Enoch's life that there come a time when God just took Enoch, just took him out of the world. Enoch was so spiritual. Enoch had such a desire to live for God that God just took him home one day. But if I'm not mistaken, I believe that Bible tells us that Enoch was a preacher. Fact of the matter is, I believe it says that he prophesied the Lord was coming back with 10,000 of his saints. Wonder who he was telling that to. I don't think he was talking to God about it because God already knew it. I don't think he was telling the Lord what he was going to do. Amen. I think he was telling the world. I think he was telling those around him, Methuselah, his children, and the community around him, hey, the Lord's coming back with 10,000 of his saints. I believe he was a witness. I believe he was a testimony. And in the process of living for God in a perverted and an ungodly world, amen, he was a spiritual man. And so was Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. If you trained your children to live in a society that's without God and serve the Lord. There ain't very many preachers that I know of in America that could go to work with Jim Cole every day for every how many years you've been doing that, Brother Jim? Huh? Since 89? It's been a long time. What, it's been 20-something years? Work in that kind of environment for 20-something years after he'd been saved. I don't know when he got saved. When did you get saved? 89. Been living in that environment, working in that environment, and maintain integrity and a testimony. I don't know many preachers that wouldn't let that influence them. Are you listening to me? And take a stand for God. And it got any better on the job? Huh? They cleaned their language up any much? It got worse. Is anybody listening to me? Training your children to walk in a society that's without God and stand for the Lord. It's very important that you do that. Amen. You can't keep them at church all the time. You can't keep them at home the rest of their life. Now, you may try to keep them there as long as you can, and that's all fine and good if that's what you think. But I'm going to tell you what, if you don't teach them, amen, and you don't take the principles of God's Word and train them and teach them. We have a Christian school here for a reason. Amen. We have a ladies' college here for a reason. Amen. We desire to promote what they need in their life to serve God. And in the process of them serving God, amen, revolve all that they need to know around the faith of God, but there is going to come a day that they are going to be exposed to a world that is without God, and that's what God wants. How many of you know how many of the Amish have won to the Lord in the last 5 years? How many Mennonites have you heard talk about the people that has been won to Jesus and join their faith? Oh, they're religious and separated. I'm asking you tonight, how many people have they led to God? And somebody better wake up and jerk their head out of the bucket they got it in and realize that we have a responsibility to the world, just like Noah, just like Enoch. And they preach and they testify to the grace of God. The life that you live and the life that you have and the light that God has shined in your heart is there for a purpose, to shine the glorious gospel to a world that's without God. And you can shelter it all you want to, but you'll face God's judgment day as being a complete failure. I don't think there's anybody here that would be as separated as tonight. I'm getting distracted. I don't think there's anybody here that would claim to be more godly than John the Baptist. John the Baptist did hang around in the wilderness alone for a while, amen, with the Lord. But when he come out of that wilderness, amen, he was standing flat-footed on the shores of the Jordan River and declaring, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Amen. Stand socially. These young girls that sing in this choir with a smile on their face and their hand in the air that go to public school, and some of you attend this school every day around praying teachers and godly people, and you're deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. Those young ladies dress right. Their attitude is as sweet as anybody in this church. They have a smile on their face when they're singing in that choir. And they go, I'll say again, not to homeschool, but to public school every day. And I'll guarantee you, you could take a big handful of the young people in this church and throw them in that environment, and they'd be dressing wicked, dressing worldly, telling filthy jokes, eat up with the internet and perversion before daylight tomorrow. You know why? Because they're probably not saved to start with, amen. But beyond that, they have never been trained what it means, amen, to stand in a world that's without God and just do right. Serve the Lord. Just serve God. Some of you have the option of having friends around you every day that's supposed to be saved, that's supposed to have a heart for God. And some of you can't live for God in this environment. You can't have a walk with God and be filled with God around this kind of environment. We need help, amen, from God. Train your children to walk socially. You got to deal with self, sinners, sensuality, separation. You have to deal with what it means to stand. You have to know something about how you speak. You got to watch what you see. You got to watch what you listen to, the sounds around you. And you have to understand that the souls of men are weighed in the balances around you. The only hope they have is what you know about God. Can you imagine not knowing anything at all about Calvary? That young lady at the challenge program said, "What's Calvary?" That's astounding to some of you. But I stood back here in a classroom to people I've preached and some of you have taught all their life, and I said, "What can you tell me about Jesus?" And you look like you cut their toes and the blood drained out of their body. Their face was ashen, afraid that I was going to point them out and say, "Tell me something about Jesus. Tell me what you know about the Lord." They knew it not till the flood came. But it wasn't because they hadn't heard it. Amen. Because Noah preached it for 120 years. Hey, they knew it not till the flood came. But it wasn't because they hadn't heard it. They just didn't know it. Teach your children. Are you listening to me tonight? Teach your children to stand socially. Amen. You need to teach your children what it means to walk in a world that is social and that is wicked and that is ungodly, and stand and be faithful and do what's right, as we've already said, like Joseph, like Noah, like Daniel, like Job. Job's friends, his companions, were against him. But Job, in the midst of his suffering, said, "I'm going to continue walking in my integrity." Teach your children to walk sanctified. Now, you don't have a problem teaching them to walk separated. That doesn't seem to be a real issue or a problem. But sanctified is a different story. In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11, the Bible said, "And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Romans chapter 13, verse 11, verse 12. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly." Some of you need to memorize that phrase. There's more to being honest than just saying honest words. He says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Have you taught your children what it means to be sanctified, to walk sanctified? Now, sanctified carries with it a two-part meaning. Now, if I said, "Are you separated?" then all you got to do is tell me what you're not doing. That's all you got to do. "Well, I don't drink, and I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't run with the boys that do. Hey, man, I don't mess with nicotine, caffeine, or Josephine. I'm separated." Hey, man. It's not hard for you to describe to me that you're separated. But now it's an altogether different story if you're going to tell me about what it means to be sanctified. Because you see, sanctification involves casting off and putting on. It involves taking some things off and putting some things on. It involves not doing some things, yes, but it involves doing some things. Here's what he says. He said, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Walk honestly as in the day. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh." Amen. There's things I do not do because there's things I want to do. Now that's a mouthful. And the reason why you don't think, are you listening to me tonight? And the reason why you don't think there's anything wrong with what I don't do is because you are not interested in doing what I want to do. Now, I'm going to say that real slow again because it's very important that you get this. There's some things that I do not do, or I don't do. That wasn't good English, was it? There's some things that I don't do, and you don't think there's anything wrong with doing what I don't do. But the reason why I don't do some things is because there's some things I want to do. And the reason why you think it's okay is because you're not concerned at all with what I want. Now, does that make sense? Did you get that? I had to buy gas tonight, fuel tonight. I left out, and I got that little thing, 2 miles till empty, 3 miles till empty. And I left out, amen, I drove yesterday a good bit, wasn't paying any attention to the gauge. And I got in, and it's my neglect, my fault, ain't nothing wrong. It's all of me. I had to go buy some fuel a little while ago. And I normally don't buy nothing on the Lord's day. Now, you don't think there's anything wrong with that. And you think it's okay. You don't regard a day any different than another day. But the reason that I don't buy on the Lord's day unless I'm put in a position where I have to is because of what I want to do. I want that gas attendant up there behind that register to be able to go to church on Sunday.
Amen.
That's what I want. But you're not concerned about that.
Amen. You're right.
Because if I'm buying gas, somebody's got to be there to take my money, and my gas has got to be tended to. Of course, I used a credit card. I didn't go inside at all. Amen. I probably could justify what I done by that. I never thought of that. Amen. I feel better about that now. I've been condemned ever since I left. I said, I hope to God none of the church members come by and see me up here buying gas on Sunday. What a hypocrite I'm going to be, and I done confessed. But I found a way out. Praise God. I didn't go in the store, didn't talk to nobody, pump my gas, come straight to church. That's a very simple illustration. But if you start wanting to do some things, there are some things that you'll have to stop doing if you're going to do that. Amen. I mean, there's some things you can't do if you're going to run in a race, if you're going to be a boxer, if you're going to be an athlete. There's some things, and you have to decide whether or not you are going to fulfill those desires that you have in your life spiritually. You're going to have to determine in your heart and mind, there's some things I can't do. Now, I've preached that. That's sanctification. I'm running around. I'm trying to preach on training children. Amen. But we may need to train some parents tonight. Sanctification involves putting on, but it also involves a purpose. Huh? Man, I wish I'd have thought of this. I'd have brought a glass of water out here. Here, I got something up here, I think. Hey, amen. Amen. Sanctification involves a purpose. Involves a purpose. Sanctification involves a purpose. Now, we're going to pretend that this is the same glass, but it's not. It's two different glasses, right? And it's got water in it. And it's good right now. Amen. You want to drink? You don't want to drink that, do you? Because I've drunk in it, right? But now let's say that this is the same glass, but I went and washed it, cleaned it up, and put water in it. You wouldn't have a problem drinking out of it then, would you? See the difference? She don't want to eat out of a plate that's nasty, but she'll eat out of the same plate if it's been cleaned. That's what sanctification is. It's putting off some things so that you can have a purpose in life and be used for the glory of God. It's not separation will just put you out like a Mennonite or an Amish or a Muslim or an Independent Baptist. But I'm telling you, sanctification will wash you and clean you and lay you out, amen, so that you can have a purpose in life. You can have something to live for. There'll be people that'll want what you have. But if you, amen, ain't nobody going to drink no water out of that glass if it's got crud in it, backwash, slobber, and snot all over it. Sanctification is a very important thing. You better train your children. That the reason why there's things you can't do in this life is because if you're going to walk saved in this social world and you want to live with a purpose that'll drive you, motivate you, and strengthen you until the day you die, you've got to be sanctified and not just separated. Because I'm going to tell you what, if all you are is separated, you'll go AWOL before it's over with. If all you are is just revolving around don'ts, 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 the discipline of the flesh will sooner or later fall apart and you're not going to make it. But if you teach your children that there's something worth living for in this life spiritually, God has a design purpose for their life. Amen. God has a divine reason for you to be alive. You can serve God. Amen. That's a wonderful thing to know. Have you trained your children to be sanctified? Have you trained your children? I'm just going to mention these two and I'm going to be done. I can't preach them. I'm going to war slam out. You train your children. The choir about wore me out. Amen. It's tough trying to get people to sing. Train your child to walk sanctified. Walk, yes, set apart and putting off, but having put on. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Does your children know that your life has meaning? The children that you're training, do they know that your life has a purpose? Daddy, I'm talking to you daddies. Does your son and your daughter know that each day that you live has reason to it? Look at me. Look at me. You may say, my daddy's staggering around in life. He don't have a clue who he is, what he's doing. Amen. He don't know from which end's up, crossways or sideways. They're an emotional wreck. Amen. They fuss and fight all the time. They waste their money. They throw it away. They're in debt up to their neck, and they have no purpose in life. But look at me. I'm telling you, I got a reason to be alive tonight. Amen. Praise God. I'm preaching tonight, and I'd rather be doing what I'm doing, knowing that God has his hand on what I'm doing, than to be a king of a vast domain, to have all the money in the world. I'd rather know, thank God, that I've got a purpose in life, that I've got a reason to be alive. And you can have that, young man, Joel. You can have that tonight. You can wake up each morning knowing that God has given me another day that I might serve him, and I can rejoice in this day because God's provided it, and I can serve God. I can walk with God today. Today means something to God, and my life today means something. You live each day of your life that way. Tomorrow I got a gym class. That sounds irrelevant to you, but I got to put some food plots out for deer hunting if it don't rain on me, and I got a gym class to teach. The next day I have a chapel to preach. I have a Bible class to teach. I have a doctrine's college class to teach. And then I have another, I don't have a gym class on Tuesday. And then I got a family and a wife and a church to pastor. And I can get wrapped up in all the schedule and all that's required of me, or I can get wrapped up in the reason that God has let me breathe another breath.
Amen.
Amen. You children need to learn what it means to walk sanctified. Man, I can't get off that. I'm going to quit right there. I'm going to finish this walk up Wednesday night. Amen. Teaching your children to walk with a purpose. We've tried to help you in so many ways. Sometimes I wonder if we're not really getting in the way sometimes. But I'll tell you what I have seen. I've stood in this pulpit, and I have preached to you moms and dads about your children not knowing a clue what they're going to do with their life. And some of you has got aggravated with it. Some of you went home and talked about it. And there's not a one of you that's had a problem with it, that had a son or a daughter that didn't know what they were going to do with their life, that has not made a downfall spiritually in their life. Not a one of them. And you need to understand that I'm not just bumping my gums. That I'm trying to tell you, amen, what's going to help your family down the road. Aaron Wells told his daddy here not long ago, I believe this is right, you correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he told his daddy not long ago, he said, I've thrown away 5 years of my life. Is that not what he said? He said, I've thrown away 5 years of my life. He sat right there in that office and told me he was going to change his degree. And I said, you're making a big mistake. I said, if you want to go in education, the least you can do is major in the math department so that you got something to fall back on, and don't go to school and take classes that's not going to challenge your abilities and challenge your skills. That's what I told him, standing right back there. He hadn't even finished school. He's working in a restaurant. He could have got out of high school, Brother Grubbs. He could have got out of high school and went and worked in a restaurant. You don't have to go to college to bus tables and pass out drinks and hand people bacon and eggs. You You don't have to be too smart to do that. I could have done that when I was in the ninth grade. He could have dropped out of school when he was 15 years old and got a job doing what he's doing. I hope he's listening.
Amen.
And the list goes on. I could start calling some of your names. That has no consistency, no reason as to what you're going to do in your life. And until you get a handle on it, your spiritual world will be a mess. Because God can't use anybody whose world revolves around instability. Praise the Lord. Amen. Get a purpose. Pray. Get some counsel from your mom and dad. Get some counsel from your pastor. But I'm going to tell you something about the preacher. When you come and ask the preacher his advice, he's giving you more than a humanistic opinion. Because he's prayed for your soul and he's watched over it all your days. And when he tells you something, you had better listen. I've yet to see a man succeed. And I'm not a guru and I'm not a prophet and I'm not some kind of seer. But I'm telling you, when someone asks the advice of a man of God, you'll be hard-pressed to find in this Bible where a man of God got to give advice or direction to a young man. He didn't follow that he didn't get in trouble. I've told families, I said, if I were you, this is what I would do. And you said, well, this is not what I feel like I need to do. And I said, okay, it's your business. And there's not a one of them ever worked, no matter what it's been. You better hear that. That's serious. That's serious. Find you a purpose through a prayer closet, a walk with God, the Word of God, the advice of wise counsel, and let God teach you as a parent to train your children to walk in that path. You can know the will of God for your life. Now, I didn't when I got out of high school. I just wanted to get married, have a family. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there come a time in my life when I got right with God that my days meant something to me. And yours should mean something to you.